Pressroots Podcast.
We are back. The Pressroots Podcast is back from a quick 2-week break. Today we have a great interview with Tom Murphy from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom is a great guy. We were glad to talk with him, one of the best in the business. And I want to announce that you can now find us on the Arkansas Traveler website. That's at uatrav.com. That's a school newspaper for the University of Arkansas. We partner with them, and you can now find our episodes there, as well as wherever you find your podcast episodes, whether that be Apple, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere else. If you don't mind, leave us a review wherever you're listening. 5 stars is what we would like, but we just appreciate you listening. And if you want to leave a review, that really helps us out. Tell your friends. Tell any young journalist that you think needs to hear from the best in the business, because that's who we're talking to. And we're learning as well, and we think that you can learn also. So thank you for listening to this. Follow us on Twitter at PressrootsPod. I'm at Chope Mason. Pretty sure Robert's at DrStu32. Might be wrong about that. But check us out on Twitter. If you want us to get somebody specific on, go ahead and shoot us a DM. All of our DMs are open, and we would love to chat with you as well. Thank you for listening to this, and I know you will enjoy this interview with Tom Murphy. So we now welcome on Tom Murphy from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, I want to thank you for joining. How's it going today?
It's going fine. It's my pleasure to be with you guys.
Well, my first question for you is, I know you've been a lot of places. You've written for a lot of different outlets. Why Arkansas? How'd you get here? And how long have you been here?
Okay. I started in 2007 here at the Democrat Gazette. My wife attended the University of Arkansas. And over the years, we always kept an eye on possibly moving back here. Love the area, and I covered Alabama for 9 years for the Mobile Register, and all the road games up here, whether it be football or basketball, I would try to find the restaurants, soak in the culture, and I'm an outdoorsy kind of guy, so I always knew that the hiking and outdoor adventures were prominent here, a lot more than they were in Northport. We lived 7 years across the bay from Mobile in Daphne, Alabama, and then 2 years in Northport right there by Tuscaloosa. And we moved here in 2007. I came up during camp. The timing of it was like this. I covered Nick Saban's hiring at Alabama, which was in January of 07. After he said, am I going to have to say this? I'm not taking the Alabama job. And then he took the Alabama job. And so I covered his spring ball there and a couple of practices, and then came up here in the University of Arkansas. It was Houston Nutt's final year. They had been through a couple of days of practices as well. And I jumped right in and been having a ball ever since.
When did you first know that you wanted to be a journalist? Like, was there a specific moment that you knew that you were going to be successful, or was there a specific person that influenced you to follow into the field of journalism?
That's a great question. I've always been a good writer. Like, you know, class essays, a lot of people don't like having to do them, but I always just found them easy. And my parents and my grandparents were big on grammar and spelling, and so it just came naturally to me. Now, I started out in school at Louisiana Tech in computer science, and it didn't take long to decide that writing code and all that stuff was above my head. And so I eventually switched over into journalism. And when I look back now, when I was younger in my teens, in fact, I'm on an Atlanta Braves thread, very successful franchise. Recently I went through some old papers, and when I was 10 years old, I wrote a paper from having attended a Braves game, and I have it right here, and I showed it to my guys on the Braves thread. I saw Darrell Evans hit a home run, and Hank Aaron hit a double and scored, and the Braves beat the Expos back in 1973. And so when I reflect on what led me to journalism. It wasn't some major event. It's just I felt I'm good with words. I'm good with spelling. Like to tell stories. I like to tell people stories. I feel like I'm an observer sometimes more than I'm a doer. And so I think it kind of naturally fell to me that I would cover sport. I've always been a person who loves sports. I mean, I did drawings in this. I had the Jolly Green Giant had a green notepad that was had the top of a can shaped, and the Green Giant was on there. And I did pictures of like Wilt Chamberlain, Joe Morgan, and Johnny Rogers. So this is way before y'all's time. The Rocket Rogers, whose award named for him, Joe Adams, was the first recipient of back in 2011. He played for Nebraska. So my awakening in sports came in about probably about 71, 72. But I think I was drawing in that little tablet in 72, all these sports things. And so they're just part of me.
So throughout your career, there's definitely been a lot of changes in journalism. Are there some specific ones that you really like and some ones that you don't prefer?
Well, as I talk, I'm going to think about the actual answer to that question here. But you guys, all right, before you guys, way before you guys, a few generations back in journalistic speaking, I started out on a typewriter. And I remember my first journalism class, the first story I was going to write, I could not compose in my mind and type at the same time. I had to write out my first story longhand and then type it all in. And it took a little while to get the feel for thinking and composing. And back then, if you made a mistake, you had to, you know, go backspace and white it out and stuff like that. Okay. But computers came along right after that and made things a lot easier. But when I first got into the profession, we were still using this Tandy computer called the TRS-80 or something like that, where you had to connect a wire to your laptop and put couplers on a phone and send in your story that way. And it wasn't always perfect, and you had to get a clean line and all kinds of stuff. So that's how far back I go. Not as far as Nate Allen, but I go back that far. And I've seen Nate do some damage to some laptops. But the word I was thinking about a minute ago was word processors. So we went from typewriters to word processors to laptops and so on. The industry's changed a lot. When I look now at bloggers and people going for hits on their web pages and all, it's a different story altogether. And just in the most recent memory, it seems to me, politics have entered in to sports writing in a large way. And this last offseason, I think we've seen more of an introduction in politicizing sports coverage than we've ever seen before. And it just seems to be trending in that direction.
So you're cranking out stories all the time. Is there like a quota or a set number of stories you like to or have to produce in a day?
No, nothing like that. I mean, our paper knows that Bob Holt and I are going to provide coverage of the camp, and we kind of set our own budget, generally about a story a day. Now, if this was a normal year without the COVID, it's basically a story per day and virtually a notebook every day. So we take a theme that we can work on for a couple of 3 days in advance. Let's just say, for instance, I'm going to write about the safeties, which does happen to be my Sunday story. We'll build up quotes over the course of several days to go into that safety story. But in the meantime, all these Zooms we're doing, we're gathering up notes. So we hope to present the reader a good cross-section of what's going on, both sides of the ball, the different positions, what the coaches are saying. And in Arkansas, not that I've done a survey on what's happening across the country in college football coverage, but in the SEC, I think Arkansas has the only camp that has had access to the media. And they've done a pretty good job of rolling through Sam Pittman, the coordinators, and a series of players. It's not to the level that other camps have been at Arkansas, but considering the circumstances, I think they've done a pretty phenomenal job at getting us players. And because they understand what we're trying to do is provide content, tell the stories. Like, for instance, let's just say Traylon Smith, the backup running back to Rakeem Boyd right now. He's a great story. He's a little bit of an undersized kid. Turns out he's buddies with Rakeem Boyd from his Houston days. He signed with Arizona State, transferred, set out last year. And we were hearing things all during last year about this guy's going to be good. He's elusive. He's slippery. He cares about the game. And so, you know, we were able to tell that story this week in a feature on the running backs, because everyone knows what Rakeem Boyd has done. They know he's one of the better running backs in the country. So we went a little bit behind the scenes and talked more about Traylon Smith for that one.
So you mentioned Nate Allen. You also mentioned Bob Holt. I noticed that when I'm around all these media guys, you seem to be the one that everybody's comfortable with coming to you and talking to you, and you can always joke around with Tom Murphy. Are there some specific journalists around here that you enjoy being around and maybe some that you don't enjoy being around?
Oh no, you're not going to pin me down like that. But I appreciate you saying that, Mason. I don't know. I like what I do. I love life. And I try not to take things too super seriously and try to have a little fun. I probably act a little young for my age. But when we're all gathered up and waiting for Dave Van Horn to show up or, you know, the coordinator, joking around about what's going on. And so I like to do that. But Nate has been what a character. You know, like to hang around him and Bob, obviously. You know, Clay Henry, son of Orville Henry, the legendary Arkansas sports writer who's in the press box, named for him in War Memorial Stadium. Of course, my boss, Wally. I only get to see him at games pretty much. Like to hang around him. And, there's a bunch of guys. There's some young up-and-comers, you guys. So, now, the ones I don't like to hang around, we'll just leave that hanging because I like them all.
All right. Hey, we like the honesty. So you mentioned Wally. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with him, because anybody who knows anything about the Razorbacks knows who Wally Hall is.
Yeah, I've known Wally for many, many years. I mean, when I was covering when I was covering Alabama, whenever I'd come up here to games or the Razorbacks would be down in Tuscaloosa, I'd come over and talk to him. And, you know, he knew that my wife was from Arkansas, that I had gone to smack over down in the southern part of the state. And I think along the way I had mentioned to him, you know, one of these days we might move back to Arkansas. And I think he kept that in mind. One thing he pointed out to me when I was hired was it was a basketball game, and Alabama basketball was pretty good. This was during the Mark Gottfried era, and Arkansas went down there and upset them. And Mark Gottfried was not in a good mood, and he was being a little bit short with his answers. And I pressed him on a couple things, you know, and he was being sharp. And I was like, no, what happened right here? You know, rebounding. Why did you get out rebounding so badly? Whatever it might've been. And that Wally said that kind of set with him, that he liked that, you know, just because the coach is mad, you know, it's not, I don't think it's fair to be take it out on the media. And if you don't like the question, to be short with the media. And boy, that's one thing that Bob Holt is so good at, the way he phrases his questions. I mean, he has ticked off some coaches over the years. Trent Johnson, the LSU basketball coach, has been upset with him before. There's been a couple of others. But Wally just does a great job of relating to us. And basically, he trusts us with what we're doing. And he just lets us set our own budgets, plan for our own stories and all that kind of thing. And he's been a good boss.
So you're a guest on a lot of radio shows that I listen to across the state, especially The Morning Rush. I like listening to that show. Do you, what is it about that? And do you feel like, do you kind of feel pressure to be that like credible source for radio shows, or do you enjoy being in that position?
No, I don't feel any pressure. One thing I don't want to do on those shows is basically report anything that hasn't been in the paper, because my responsibility and where I get paid is the newspaper. Now, I have a ball. I like going on radio, and I feel like over the years it has gotten more the topics can be not just sports. And so I go on the Buzz down in Little Rock as well, and those guys are great at talking about what's going on in culture and, you know, in life and how it relates to sports. And the same thing with the guys in Fort Smith, the Morning Rush, good sense of the humor, and approaches serious topics, but also takes things with a grain of salt and with some humor. And that's the way I like to approach things. So I just take it as another way to have my name and the Democrat Gazette's name out in the public, and you know, try to represent the paper well and try to speak properly and use good diction and grammar and stuff.
This is a sort of different question, but I'm curious, like, I'm thinking about guests that we've had on this podcast before, like Ty Richardson and Andrew Hutchinson. Is there a young sports journalist out there that you think really deserves more recognition and could really make it big in this industry, like either here in Arkansas or on the national scene?
Well, I'm going to start with you two guys, because I feel like your future is unlimited. I think there's a lot of guys. To me, the ones who take the tenets of journalism seriously, you know, properly report stories and those types of things are the ones that strike me the most. And you mentioned a couple guys. Ty, he's not afraid to ask any questions. I like that about him. And as a young guy, he'll even call the coaches by their first name. And when I first got in the business, man, you said coach. And I got to Alabama, and Mike Dubose was the coach. And a couple of times, like, the media can hear press conferences and stuff. And when they heard I said, hey, Mike, and a couple of other guys did, they were offended. You do not call the head coach at Alabama Mike. Call him coach. And so Ty, at a young age, is calling them by their name. And, you know, I do think coach is a sign of respect sometimes. But anyway, let's see. Andrew's a real stat guy, and I really value and cherish his stat keeping. And he's got some programs where he can do some research pretty swiftly sometimes on, you know, high scores, number of touchdowns in a game, attendance, just spreadsheets he has that he can do some quick research. So you guys, when I was in college, they said, be ready to not make a lot of money because journalism doesn't pay a ton of money. And that is the case. And so I don't live any kind of luxurious life. My wife has a job too, so we make it. We've had three kids. All of them are out of the house now. But it's not like I'm going to retire rich, but I've enjoyed what I do. And so that's my thought to you guys, is try to enjoy what you do. Market yourself, you know, to the best that you can, and be true to your the tenets of your profession, and do the best you can. And so if you guys ever have any questions, come to me and I'll do the best I can to answer them, like we are right now.
Now, I do have a question for you. When you were first starting out, how were you able to get your name out there, and what are some suggestions you have for other journalists, younger journalists, to really build their credibility and set goals?
Well, nowadays there's a lot more ways to get your name out there. Don't be afraid to ask tough questions. Have your resume. I mean, I haven't looked for a job now in 13 years. So having your resume at the ready, having tear sheets, clips, whatever they call them now, audio sound bites, your guys' interviews that you do online, however you plan to do it, just have them at the ready at all times. When you feel like you've done a good interview, you know, archive it, save it somehow. I was not real pushy in the business. My first job, I mean, I started at the Ruston Daily Leader many, many years ago, right there where Louisiana Tech is, for a year. And then I went up to El Dorado, to the News Times, and then down to the Shreveport Journal for, I don't remember how long that was, a year or two. And then over to Monroe, where I had met my soon-to-be wife by then. So we both worked in Monroe. And I worked there for 8 or 9 years before I went to Mobile. So it's been a real slow climb. In the coaching ranks, I'd be like a Sam Pittman kind of guy, a longtime position coach and that kind of stuff. So big moves can be made in the industry nowadays. There's a lot of avenues. I know that in the last couple of years, there's been some shrinkage on, you know, some digital platforms and in TV and also in print media. So you got to push nowadays to get your name out and get your brand going, so to speak.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to ask you one more question here. You said that you haven't looked for a job in quite some time now. Do you anticipate that you'll have to do that again in the future, or is the ADG your last stop?
Well, you never say never, but we're pretty comfortable. By the way, I will just tell it to your listeners here, Robert. I think Northwest Arkansas, and I tell this to people across the country, I think this is one of the best places to live in all of America. We went to the Buffalo River on Sunday. We had floated it a few weeks ago. My wife had never floated it. So we did that. It was a great time. And we just went up Sunday around to the Ponca area and put our feet in the Buffalo River. And I just like that it's not the super hustle and bustle of the cities. We have a good bit of culture in our area. And, you know, when Razorback football's hot, everybody's big into it. So perhaps Sam Pittman can get the football program going in the right direction. Y'all think back to 2010 and 2011. Alabama was already top dog, but Arkansas was right there knocking on the door. Beat LSU in 2010 and had a really good team in 2011. So it can be done. But honestly, I don't see why I would ever want to move from here. We love this place.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. We really enjoyed this chat, and we'll let you get back to your busy day.
Robert, Mason, appreciate you guys. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to Press Roots this week. Our break was a little longer than we expected it to be, but what a treat it was to come back with Tom Murphy on the show. We hope that that conversation was as cool for everyone listening as it was for us to have. Like Mason told you at the top of the show, you can now find Press Roots on the Arkansas Traveler website. We're both very, very excited about this. We've been on staff for about a year now, and it's super cool to be pumping out both written content and this podcast for the Trav. Stay tuned on Twitter for a guest announcement for the next episode. Give us a follow at Press Roots Pod. Tweet at us or DM us with feedback and suggestions. Our ears are always open. Until next time, thanks again for listening to Press Roots. Take care.